This is the Media in Ministry column. It's an interview with author Amy Peterson and called Embodied Goodness. Amy Peterson's spiritual journey began in the evangelical church of her youth, took her to Asia to do mission work, and currently has her pursuing a degree at Duke Divinity School in Durham, North Carolina. Her new book, Where Goodness Still Grows, Reclaiming Virtue in an Age of Hypocrisy, offers hope and an invitation to greater faithfulness, as well as an encouragement to engage deeply with loved ones with whom we may disagree. Living Lutheran asks, could you tell us about your book? Peterson says, Where Goodness Still Grows is the result of my wrestling with virtues from my childhood, trying to understand what embodied goodness ought to look like for me at this political moment. I devote a chapter to each of the 8 virtues. I interrogate each virtue, finding ways in which my childhood understanding of it was flat or one-dimensional, or finding ways in which my spiritual communities had used that virtue more as a weapon to keep people in their place than as a tool to cultivate goodness. Then I seek to expand and reimagine the virtue, listening especially to voices I rarely heard in my childhood churches. Living Lutheran asks, what got you interested in exploring virtues more deeply? She says, I grew up with a copy of Bill Bennett's The Book of Virtues on my coffee table, and with an understanding that Christian virtue was only to be found in one political party. As the 2016 election year drew near, I saw a major disconnect between the so-called values voters and the values I'd been taught by them. So I set out to re-examine the virtues. We ask, what were some of the biggest surprises for you as you researched definitions of virtue? What do you think will be most satisfying for your readers? She responds, one of the most fascinating findings for me was the connection between the way we understand authenticity and the history of prayer in the American church. I noticed that many tended to think things were authentic if they were spontaneous, emotional, and messy, and I wondered why that was. It turns out to have a lot to do with the way the Puritans understood prayer. I think my readers will be most surprised by what I learned about purity and modesty, two virtues that have in the church in the last few decades been made to be primarily about women's bodies and sexuality. But in fact, in the Bible, these virtues have very little to do with sexuality. What I found as I explored is freeing and, in some ways, more demanding. We ask, what did you see as the role that the faithful can play in bringing about change and increasing virtue in the world? She responds, Lutherans have a wonderful heritage of Reformation, and I believe that we must always be reforming our understanding of embodied goodness. In this book, I don't seek to offer definitive answers about what virtue is. I seek to model a way of engaging with your own life story and cultural context and scripture with compassion and wisdom, and an openness to new ideas from new places. The virtues don't change, but they do look different to each person, and your task is to learn how to embody them best in your life. We ask, hope is such a vibrant thread in the book. What is giving you hope now, and what hopes do you have for your readers? Last year, I had a group of college students that met at my house on a regular basis for soup and bread, and all of them had been wounded by Christians. Some of them had been rejected by their own Christian families. But every time they came to my house, they exuded joy, and they discussed ways to communicate with people who didn't understand them or even try to understand them. And they continued to love God, who seemed confusing and whose name had been used to hurt them. They gave me hope, and so do my own children, and the young people at their school who are engaged in climate change activism. For those readers who've been confused as to why so many young people are angry at the church, I hope this book helps them to understand the anger. for those who've been hurt by religious people weaponizing virtue's language, I hope this book helps them feel less alone and helps them see that the gospel is not a weapon. And for all of us, I hope this book helps us believe a little more in a God whose love is wildly beyond what we can imagine, whose love erases dividing lines and casts out all fears.